If you would please turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. It's 13 verses. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Please keep your hand here or a bookmark. I'll be coming back. This is my text. As I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Then David said, "Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." The king said, "Is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he said, "Here is your servant." David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and restore unto you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly." Again, he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. Let's pray. Lord, I think as we read through this passage, we could determine there's a repetition, a phrase that's used several times, something that I think deserves our attention this morning. This grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan, no longer had to hide and fear, but now he could eat at the king's table regularly. He ate as one of the king's sons. Now, Lord, this is an Old Testament story. I believe it to be rooted in truth. I believe it's factual. But it's more than just historical. I think in this passage is a great word picture. And Lord, this morning we're going to eat at the Lord's table, even though communion is a little different in Coventide. The table's not up front, it's in the back, and we're not currently passing the plates. But nevertheless, this is the Lord's table. This is the Lord's Supper. We have the privilege of eating at the king's table regularly. So I pray you'd use this passage to bless us this morning, to encourage us, to remind us of how wonderful grace is. The goodness of God that allows us to sit at his table. Thank you, Father. Amen. This morning's sermon is short and sweet. It's kind of a word picture, really. It's a story of grace. I believe it's our story. Like many good tales, it's told around the dinner table. This one is told around the king's table. Obviously, the focal point of the story is repeated. Verse 7, the last part, you shall eat at my table regularly. Verse 10, shall eat at my table regularly. Verse 11, Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Verse 13, he ate at the king's table regularly. Before you can eat at the table, someone has to set it. So we're going to look at the setting first, and then who's sitting there. The setting of the table really is in chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, in which David has risen to the height of his power. He has defeated his enemies. He is the king. He has no challengers. He is sovereign. He's the sovereign king who has determined to show grace. Look at verse 1. Then David said, Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now that takes us back to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20, where David and Jonathan made a covenant. They made a promise. Jonathan saw the writing on the wall. He realized that David was going to be king, and he realized that probably meant that Saul and himself were going to die in battle, which they did. But Jonathan asked David, please don't forget my family. Please remember my family. Verse 2. Now there was a servant in the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. The king said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. Go back to chapter 4. Verse 4. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. That was the fact that they were dead. And his nurse took him up and fled. She was running for her life, and she grabbed up the little boy and took him away because she thought there would be people after them. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame. They didn't have, of course, the medical knowledge that we do. If you broke bones, sometimes they would set right. There's sometimes not. There couldn't be surgery. There couldn't be corrective things. So he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So that's who Ziba is talking about. Yes, there's still a son, but he is crippled in both feet. But the setting here is David at his height, David who is now the unchallenged sovereign king of Jerusalem, of Israel. If you again, if you read chapter 8, you see victory after victory after victory. His enemies are defeated one after another. And that whose table we're focusing on here, the sovereign king who determines to show grace. Well, who's sitting at the table? Well, we read the story. It's Mephibosheth is sitting at the table. Well, who was Mephibosheth? Well, he was an enemy of the king who was crippled from the fall. He's an enemy of the king who was crippled from the fall. He's the last surviving member of the house of Saul. He's the son of Jonathan. As I said, he was only 5 years old when his grandfather and his father died in battle. While the families were fleeing for their lives, he suffered injuries which left him crippled for life. Out of love for Jonathan, David not only spared his life, but restored all of Saul's property to him. David did not have to do that. That certainly was not the way that it usually worked. In fact, in one respect, Mephibosheth could become a rival to David, could become a challenge to David because he's of the household of Saul and the household of Jonathan. But David determined to show him grace. He not only spared his life, but he restored all of Saul's property to him. So that's who Mephibosheth was. Where was he? Where was he? Well, he was in the middle of nowhere, hiding from the king. Look at verse 4. So the king said to Ziba, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Debar in Hebrew means thing. It's a thing. Lo is a negative. So this could mean the town was nothing, was no thing. I think we'd say it was in the middle of nowhere. He's hiding in the middle of nowhere. His nurse who had dropped him as she was fleeing probably told him that David wanted him dead, and that the best place for him to hide was Lodibar, in the middle of nowhere. Verse 5. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. I like the King James here, verse 5. David fetched him. David fetched him. He was too lame to come by himself. He couldn't get there by himself. He was powerless. Again, David had everything to lose and nothing to gain by this. David had everything to lose by doing this, to keep the life of the former king, to keep a descendant of the former king alive. He had nothing to gain by this. Verse 6. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he said, "Here is your servant." Now again, Mephibosheth was not expecting grace. I mean, if you put yourself in his place, he's crippled. He can't walk. He's been hiding out. For years, he thought the king was looking for him. For years, he thought that one day he would die like his dad died and his grandfather died because of the challenge to the throne. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Ziba shows up, who he probably remembered from his childhood, and said, "The king wants to see you." So they go to Jerusalem, they go to the palace, and immediately he lays himself out on the floor in front of David. He wasn't expecting grace. He wasn't expecting grace. But look at verse 8. Again, he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" Again, this is all revolving around verse 3. Is there not anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Mephibosheth expected judgment. He received instead the goodness of God, grace. All that his grandfather Saul had lost was restored to him. He would not have to work for it. Look at verse 9. Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson shall have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." He would not, this grace of which he was receiving, this goodness of God of which he was the recipient, he couldn't work for it. He was lame in both feet. He was powerless. But now, he's being treated as a son of the king. Now he was to live with the king because of the kindness of God, because of the grace of the king. He went from hiding out, fearing for his life, left powerless by his fall, and now eating at the king's table. You say, "Well, Pastor Greg, that's a nice little story. That's cute. What's it got to do with me?" Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I am Mephibosheth. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've been saved, you are Mephibosheth. I am sitting at the table of the king. I am getting undeserved VIP treatment by the King of Glory, the Sovereign Lord. I am a child of the king, not by birth, but by new birth. I was damaged in a fall. I was born into a fallen family, the human race. I was living in exile, hiding from the righteous king, ashamed of my sin. I am the recipient of God's gracious initiative. I could not go where he is, so he sent for me. In fact, I was too lame to come on my own. I was given unexpected grace. I have been given all that was lost in the fall. I can eat at the king's table. I will live with the king forever. See, this is a story of grace. This is a picture of salvation. This is what is true of all of us if we're in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:20. Remember, David had made a covenant with Jonathan. He'd made a promise. We'll look at Hebrews 13:20. "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. David made a covenant with Jonathan, but God has made a covenant with us through his Son. Through the sacrifice of his Son, his blood covers all our sins. And this morning, Christ invites you to his table. This morning, Christ invites you to dine at his table, to share in communion, in the Lord's Supper. One final thought. If you, like me, still feel the effects of the fall, if you still struggle with your sin, if you're still lame, here's the good news. You can't see your feet when you're sitting at the table. You can't see your feet when you're sitting at the table.